I'm Echo.
And I'm Ether. Welcome to another Cohere Technologies Deep Dive podcast.
Today we're going to be tackling something pretty cool. A new approach to wireless communication.
Oh, yeah.
Called learning in the delay Doppler domain.
Okay.
Yeah. So think like 6G and beyond, you know.
Right.
The kind of tech that'll power everything from self-driving cars to, I don't know, maybe even teleportation devices one day.
Well, maybe let's not get ahead of ourselves with the teleportation shit. But
yeah, sure.
You're right. This research really could be revolutionary, I think.
Yeah.
It tackles a really fundamental challenge in wireless communication.
Right.
How to transmit data reliably in these increasingly complex environments, you know?
Yeah, because it feels like the world is getting more and more crowded with data, right?
Exactly.
Like more devices, higher speeds, and everything needs to be talking to everything else.
It really does, yeah. And that's exactly where this research comes in.
Sure,
I think our source material today is a paper by Robert Calderbank.
Mm-hmm.
He's a leading expert from Duke University.
Right.
And he also advises Cohere Technologies.
Okay.
They're a company working to bring these concepts to life.
Awesome. So this isn't just theoretical.
Not at all.
This is stuff that could actually...
Yeah. It has real world potential.
That's what I love about these deep dives. You know, we get into the nitty gritty.
Absolutely.
Okay. So let's start with the problem, I guess.
Sure.
Our current wireless systems, like especially 4G, they really rely on mathematical models.
Yeah.
To try and predict and compensate for signal interference.
Yeah.
But as the wireless environment gets more complex, those models really start to struggle.
They do. It's true.
Yeah.
Imagine trying to map out perfectly how a sound wave travels in a room full of people.
Yeah.
It's bouncing off the walls, the furniture,
right.
Even the people themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You could try and create a complex mathematical model to account for every reflection, but it would be so difficult and probably not very accurate.
Right. That's a great way to visualize it, though.
Yeah.
So as we move towards 5G and 6G,
mm-hmm.
with even faster data speeds.
And tons of mobile devices.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying that those traditional models just won't cut it?
They just won't. Think about the Doppler effect.
Right.
That's how the frequency of a sound changes as the source moves relative to the listener.
Right. So like an ambulance siren.
Exactly. Like an ambulance siren.
A higher pitched as it comes towards you.
Yeah.
Lower as it goes away.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now imagine that happening with wireless signals.
Right.
As devices are moving around in a network.
Okay.
It adds a whole other layer of complexity.
So basically everything is moving, everything's bouncing signals around.
It is.
And our current models are kind of using an old blurry map.
Yeah.
To navigate this constantly shifting landscape.
That's a great analogy.
Okay.
And Calderbank argues that we're stuck in a way of thinking that's too focused on modeling the wireless channel perfectly, which is almost impossible in these complex scenarios.
Okay. So what does he propose instead?
Well,
like, are we throwing out the map entirely?
Not quite. No. He draws a really interesting parallel to the history of astronomy.
Okay.
Kepler's laws of planetary motion were based on observation and prediction.
Mm-hmm.
But then Newton came along and provided a fundamental understanding of the underlying physics.
Right, gravity. Okay, I think I see where you're going with this.
Yeah.
So instead of trying to model every little detail of the wireless environment, we need to find a way to understand the fundamental input-output relationship of the channel, regardless of its complexity.
Exactly.
Like, understand the gravity of how the signals behave.
That's the core idea.
Okay.
And to do this, he introduces the concept of the delay Doppler domain.
Okay.
It's a way of visualizing wireless signals, not in terms of their frequency over time, but as a 2D map. Think of it like a grid, where each point represents a specific delay and a specific Doppler shift.
So I'm starting to see the radar screen analogy here.
Yes.
Each blip on the screen is a signal, and its position shows its delay and Doppler shift.
Exactly. And it's not just a visual analogy.
Okay.
The delay Doppler domain is a mathematical representation of the signal that captures this key information about how it's been affected by the channel.
Okay. So it's not just how it looks, it's how it actually...
Yeah, it captures real information.
Interesting. Okay. So we've gone from blurry maps to radar screens.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got these special signal pulses to probe the terrain.
We do.
This is starting to feel like a high-tech treasure hunt.
I like that.
What kind of treasure are we looking for here?
The treasure is the ability to accurately predict how the channel will affect any signal we send through it.
Okay.
And this is where things get really interesting.
Okay.
Because under certain conditions, we can achieve something called the crystalline regime.
Crystalline regime. Okay. That sounds a little sci-fi.
It does sound fancy.
Yeah.
But it's actually a very specific set of conditions within the delay Doppler domain.
Okay.
Remember how we talked about pulse zones being carefully placed on that grid?
I do.
Well, in the crystalline regime, the spacing between these pulse zones,
okay,
the fundamental period, is larger than the spread of the channel itself.
So if the spread is like the clutter on our radar screen,
yeah,
we need to make sure our pulses are far enough apart to avoid interference.
Exactly. So, and when these conditions are met, yeah, something amazing happens.
Okay, what happens?
The behavior of the signals within the delay Doppler domain becomes highly predictable.
Okay.
Almost like a repeating pattern.
Right.
Even if the individual elements that are causing the signal distortion are super complex.
So it's like looking through a kaleidoscope.
Yes.
The individual pieces of glass are arranged randomly.
Mm-hmm.
But the overall pattern they create is predictable.
Exactly.
And kind of beautiful.
And beautiful, yeah.
And you're saying that this predictability is the key.
It is.
That allows us to use machine learning,
yes,
to understand the channel's behavior.
Exactly.
Wait, machine learning.
Yeah.
How does that fit into all of this?
That's what we'll dive into next.
Okay.
But the short answer is that this predictable crystalline behavior,
yeah,
allows us to train machine learning algorithms,
right,
to understand the input-output relationship of the channel,
great,
without needing a perfect model of the channel itself.
So we're taking machine learning,
yeah,
and we're applying it to this.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. I am very intrigued. Let's unpack that machine learning magic in part two of this deep dive.
Sounds good.
Okay. I'm ready to have my mind blown.
Yeah, yeah.
How does machine learning play into this crystalline regime,
right,
and change the way we think about wireless communication?
Well, imagine you're trying to teach someone how to ride a bike.
Okay.
The traditional approach would be to explain all the physics involved,
right,
like balance, momentum, friction.
Yeah.
But what if you could just show them how to do it?
Okay.
Let them practice,
mm-hmm,
and kind of figure it out on their own.
I see what you're getting at. So it's like learning by doing.
Exactly.
Rather than learning by theory.
Yeah. And machine learning in this context is about giving our communication systems,
yeah,
the ability to learn by doing.
So instead of relying on these complex models,
mm-hmm,
that try to predict every detail of the wireless channel,
right,
we can use machine learning algorithms to learn the channel's behavior directly from the data.
Yes, exactly.
So we're essentially feeding the algorithm a bunch of these pulse zones,
yes,
and letting it figure out how the channel responds.
That's the basic idea.
Okay, but wouldn't this be super computationally expensive?
Well,
like crunching all that data in real time.
Yeah.
Seems like a pretty heavy lift.
It's a valid concern. You're right. Machine learning algorithms can be computationally intensive.
Yeah.
Especially when you're dealing with the amount of data we're talking about here.
Right.
But remember, hardware and software are constantly evolving.
That's true.
We're already seeing incredibly powerful chips being designed,
right,
specifically for machine learning tasks.
So it's a matter of optimizing the algorithms,
mm-hmm,
and leveraging those advancements in hardware.
Exactly.
Okay, what about security? How do we make sure these machine learning systems are safe,
yeah,
from like attacks or manipulation?
Well, security is paramount, obviously,
mm-hmm, right,
especially when we're talking about critical infrastructure like communication networks.
Of course.
Researchers are actively developing security protocols.
Okay.
Specifically designed for machine learning systems.
Right.
It's like building a multi-layered defense system around these algorithms.
So it's not a perfect solution.
No.
But the potential benefits seem to outweigh the risks.
I think so. And in, yeah, this case, the potential benefits are truly exciting.
Okay.
Calderbank's paper highlights that these model-free techniques,
mm-hmm,
using pulse zones in the crystalline regime,
yeah,
can achieve performance that rivals traditional model-based approaches.
So we're potentially talking about a massive leap forward,
yes,
in efficiency and reliability.
Okay.
But can we get a little more concrete? What are some real-world examples of how this could actually be used?
Okay. So imagine high-speed satellite communication, mm-hmm, to a moving vehicle.
Right.
Like a self-driving car, sorry, or even a high-speed train.
Okay.
These scenarios are incredibly challenging because of the high Doppler spreads involved.
Yeah, it's like trying to keep a laser pointer,
yes,
perfectly aimed at a target that's bouncing all over the place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But with learning in the delay Doppler domain,
mm-hmm,
we could potentially train algorithms to predict and compensate for those Doppler shifts on the fly.
Okay, that's amazing. So that would enable real-time,
yes,
high-bandwidth communication with moving vehicles.
It would.
Which opens up possibilities for
so many.
Safer autonomous transportation,
mm-hmm,
remote teleoperation,
yeah,
all sorts of stuff.
Absolutely.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
What about more earthbound applications?
Okay.
How would this impact our everyday wireless experience?
So think about how we build and deploy wireless networks today. Engineers spend countless hours painstakingly modeling the environment,
right,
trying to account for every building, every tree,
yeah,
even weather patterns.
Sounds incredibly tedious.
It is.
And even then, things are changing constantly.
Right.
So those models get outdated really quickly.
They do.
But are you saying that with learning in the delay Doppler domain,
yeah,
we could potentially deploy networks that adapt to the environment on their own?
We could.
So they could learn the best way to transmit signals.
Exactly.
Based on real-time data.
Yes.
And optimize their performance continuously.
That's the idea.
So our future Wi-Fi routers might not need these complicated setup processes,
right,
or manual tweaking.
They do not.
They'll just figure out the best way to connect on their own.
Yeah.
And that could lead to...
through robust and reliable networks.
Okay.
Even in really challenging environments with, yeah, lots of interference.
So seamless connectivity,
yeah,
in crowded stadiums,
yeah,
or remote areas with limited infrastructure. This all sounds incredible.
It is exciting.
But I have to ask, is this just a theoretical possibility?
Well...
or... are there companies actually working on bringing this to reality?
Remember, Cohere Technologies, the company that Calder Bank advises?
I do.
They are actively developing and testing systems,
really?
That use learning in the delay Doppler domain.
Wow.
They're focusing on improving spectral efficiency.
Okay.
Which basically means squeezing more data through the same amount of bandwidth.
That's huge in a world that's becoming increasingly data hungry.
It is.
So we're not just talking about a futuristic fantasy here.
No.
This is technology that's being actively developed.
It is.
And it has the potential to impact our lives,
mm-hmm,
in the near future.
It really does. And it highlights something important.
What's that?
Calder Bank's research isn't just about these theoretical breakthroughs.
Right.
It's about paving the way for a more efficient,
mm-hmm,
adaptable, and robust future for wireless communication.
It's like shifting from a rigid, pre-programmed approach,
yeah,
to one that's flexible and intelligent.
Exactly.
It's almost like our communication systems are becoming more alive.
That's an interesting way to put it.
Yeah.
And I think it captures the essence of what makes this research so groundbreaking.
Cope.
We're not just building faster networks.
Right.
We're building smarter networks that can learn, adapt, and evolve along with our needs.
This is mind-blowing stuff.
It's pretty cool.
But before we get too carried away with the excitement,
yeah,
I want to make sure we address any potential concerns.
Okay.
You mentioned computational complexity and, mm-hmm, security.
Yeah.
But are there any other challenges or downsides to this approach that we should be thinking about? So we've talked about all the potential benefits and some of the challenges of learning in this delay Doppler domain.
We have.
But are there any other downsides or trade-offs that we should consider?
One thing to keep in mind is that this technology is still pretty early stage.
Right.
You know, while there have been really impressive results in these research settings,
mm-hmm,
translating that into like real world commercially viable systems,
yeah,
it takes time and it faces real world constraints, you know?
Of course. So it's not like we're going to see,
no,
6G networks powered by this,
no,
popping up everywhere next week.
Not quite yet.
Okay. So what are some of the ongoing research areas then,
well,
that need to be addressed,
yeah,
to make this technology more widely applicable?
Well, researchers are exploring ways to relax those strict conditions that are required for the crystalline regime.
Oh.
You know, make it more robust to real world imperfections and things.
Right. Because the real world is messy.
It is. Yeah. It's not a perfect grid.
Exactly. And they're also working on developing more efficient machine learning algorithms,
yes,
that require less data and less computational power.
Exactly.
Which makes sense. It's about making this technology more practical.
It is.
And adaptable to different scenarios.
Yeah. And it seems like there's a lot potential for synergy with other emerging technologies.
Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah, what is...
Well, think about the Internet of Things.
Okay.
With billions of devices,
right,
all connected and exchanging data.
Yeah.
Managing that kind of complexity.
It's overwhelming.
It is. It's going to require intelligent networks.
Yeah.
That can adapt and optimize themselves.
In real time.
In real time.
Yeah.
Exactly. And learning in the delay Doppler domain.
Yeah.
Could be a key role in making that vision a reality.
So it's like we're giving the network a brain of its own.
Kind of.
Allowing it to learn and respond to the ever-changing demands
exactly.
of the connected world.
Yeah, and the implications go way beyond just faster downloads or wider coverage.
Right.
This technology could enable totally new applications and services that we haven't even thought of yet.
All right. Now you've really got my imagination going.
God.
What kind of crazy future applications are we talking about?
Well, think about how this technology blurs the lines between the physical and digital worlds with real-time, high-bandwidth communication. We could see a rise in these immersive virtual and augmented reality experiences that feel incredibly real.
So we're not just talking about watching a video on our phones anymore.
No.
We're talking about stepping into fully interactive digital environments.
Exactly. Imagine attending a concert.
Okay.
Or a sporting event virtually.
Yeah.
Feeling like you're actually there in the crowd.
Right.
Or interacting with holographic representations of people from across the globe.
That's wild. It seems like the possibilities are endless.
It does.
Well, so as we wrap up this deep dive into learning in the delay Doppler domain, what's the key takeaway for our listeners?
I think the key takeaway is that we're on the cusp of a paradigm shift in wireless communication.
Right.
This isn't just about incremental improvements. Mm-hmm. It's about fundamentally changing how we think about how data travels through the air.
It's about embracing that complexity.
It is.
Of our increasingly connected world.
Yes.
And using intelligent algorithms to navigate that complexity.
Exactly. And it's about recognizing that the future of wireless communication isn't just about speed or bandwidth.
Okay.
It's about creating a truly intelligent and adaptable network.
Right.
That can meet the evolving needs of our digital society.
It's a future that holds immense promise.
It does.
Both in terms of the technological advancement and its impact on how we live, work, and interact with the world around us.
Absolutely.
So to our listeners,
keep
your eyes and ears open for developments in this field.
You should.
Because learning in the delay Doppler domain might just be the key to unlocking a future.
It could be.
Of seamless, intelligent, and ubiquitous connectivity.
And who knows, maybe one of our listeners today will be inspired to contribute to that future.
Okay.
You know, push the boundaries of what's possible even further.
I love it. That's a great thought to leave on.
It is. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning.
Yes.
And keep diving deep.
Thanks for joining us for another deep dive.